Sometimes, even though a chef has earned their place among the finest culinary artists in the world, a handful remain humble, with an innocence and unflagging sense of discovery. And this is exactly the case with Michael Rotondo, chef de cuisine at San Francisco's Parallel 37, the Ritz-Carlton's award-winning restaurant. It's no accident that Parallel 37 has been ranked among the City by the Bay's top 25 restaurants and has garnered a Forbes Travel Guide coveted 4-star rating. Born in Weymouth, Massachusetts, Rotondo started his professional culinary career as a 15-year-old, and before long he was working at the 5-star Four Seasons Resort in Palm Beach, Florida. But that's just the beginning. He moved to Europe and worked in various Michelin star restaurants, including a coveted stint working beside culinary legend Paul Bocuse in France. It gets better. Returning to the United States, Rotondo spent years working beside Charlie Trotter and received the Most Promising Chef Award from Daniel Boulud and Thomas Keller in the epitome of international culinary competitions, the Bocuse d'Or. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting for the Lowell Thomas award-winning NPR podcast, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer. Join me for a captivating visit with culinary wizard Michael Rotondo at the Ritz-Carlton in San Francisco.
Where to go to? Why don't you go where Harlem sits for another rib?
Hi, Tom. Good to be on your show today.
So you're chef de cuisine at Parallel 37, right inside of the Ritz-Carlton. This is a great venue.
Yeah, it's quite the honor. There's been some amazing chefs who've worked here in this dining room, everybody from Gary Danko to Ron Siegel, Sylvain Porte, so I am definitely honored and excited to be at the helm.
Let's roll back in time. I'm always fascinated why, how a chef becomes a chef. I mean, you were a 15-year-old and you had a passion already. So was it in your family upbringing?
Probably in the DNA. You know, my mother is a great cook. She did everything from scratch and never let anything enter the house that was pre-made, pre-bought. And I think I just took that to heart. I would help her, you know, make pastas and bake cookies and bread. And so at a very young age, I was very passionate about doing items from scratch and homemade, and that's what the restaurant business is all about. You know, it's about creating things from the beginning to the end.
You grew up in Boston.
I did, yeah.
And did your mom go to farmers markets and corner markets to get ingredients?
Unfortunately, no, we didn't have farmers markets in Boston like we do here in Northern California. But, you know, I'll give a shout out to Shaw's Supermarket in Weymouth, Massachusetts. But yeah, everything was from scratch. And, you know, the great thing about the East Coast is some of the seafood, everything from scallops to flounder and shrimp. And those were some of the freshest you can get.
When did you make your first step back of the house in a kitchen?
I was working at a local restaurant in Hingham, Massachusetts, a neighboring town from where I grew up. And I'd started on a grill station. It was a wood-burning grill. We grilled everything from pork and veal and some different rare cuts of meat like flank steaks and some different offcuts. But it was a neighborhood restaurant. It was packed. We probably did about 300 covers a day.
Wow, so you're moving fast.
Yeah, no, so it's good to, you know, have that under your belt when you're young to learn how to do that mass production.
So I recall at some point you took off for Florida and did a stint with the Four Seasons.
I did, yeah. It was a great property, 5-star, 5-diamond property. They had a fine dining restaurant, which I worked at, a bistro-style restaurant. But I was lucky enough to work at the, you know, fine dining restaurant, which is no longer there. Worked under some great chefs at the time, and you really got to understand working with foreign ingredients at the time, you know, ingredients from South America and chili and, you know, and just learning to work with these exotic ingredients that everyone really enjoys, everything from mangoes to lychees to plantains.
That's really fascinating. You're talking about a real Caribbean and South American, Central American touch to your cuisine, but then you took it a step further, and as I recall, you took off for Europe for your own exploration.
I did. You know, I have Italian heritage, so I always wanted to work, do stints in Italy, but luckily enough to land a job in London, the Four Seasons in there. We were doing great food, working with top chefs in the city, but it also gave me the ability to travel. I traveled everywhere from Hungary to Prague to Ireland, and I did some stints in Italy, just like my goals were when I arrived. and I got a limitless amount of information from some of these countries.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. You're listening to Michael Rotondo, Chef de Cuisine at the Ritz-Carlton in San Francisco. Among the greatest honors for Michael during his sojourn through Europe was to work with legendary French chef Paul Bocuse.
Yeah, anyone who's ever met Paul Bocuse, I mean, he's the grandest chef there is. He's so generous, so hospitable. I got to spend a few weeks in the kitchen with him, and it's really like a school.
So it was like in a stage, you were...
Exactly, I was a stage. So I was at Paul Bocuse's kitchen for about 3 weeks, you know, and I competed in the Bocuse d'Or. And I won an award, funny enough. It was the most promising chef. So with the award, they gave me a siphon of money, and they gave me ability to work at some of the top kitchens in the country. So I worked in Spain and at Muguritz for a little while, and I worked with the legend himself, Paul Bocuse. And it was just an amazing, it was almost like a time zone where I warped back into the past. You know, because you see all these incredible dishes that he made famous, everything from this truffle soup en croûte that he does, and working with Rouget that has these old school potato scales. And it was very exciting. It was like a school. You have young cooks learning from scratch, working with some of the most talented French chefs.
So you went through the real classical school of classic French, right?
I did. I mean, you kind of have to. It's the foundation to everything.
So you understand butter and cream real well.
I do, actually, and I don't actually cook with much butter or cream at all. And that kind of leads me to, you know, working for Charlie Trotter, who was very into healthy cooking, and working with just vegetables and seafood, really limiting the amount of cream and butter in his cooking. And that's why I think I stayed with him for so long. I was with him for 8 years, actually.
Wow.
And I just believed in that philosophy of cooking, and I still do to this day.
Can you think of one or two of the most memorable experiences working with him there? It's just stick in your mind.
There's so many. Yeah. Every day was kind of like, you didn't know what you were going to get into when you walked through those doors. Sometimes 8 in the morning, you'd start your day, and you leave around 3 in the morning. So there were long days. You never knew what was going on in his mind. I don't know if he did, actually, but that was what was so cool to work for him.
It was very real organic.
Very organic, very spontaneous in his decision making. We did so many events, so many outside events, a lot of charity events. You know, we cooked for Alain Ducasse when he was acknowledged as a grand chef in South Beach, I believe it was. And to cook with some other chefs alongside with Alain Ducasse was very memorable. I remember that to this day.
At some point, you came here to the Ritz-Carlton in San Francisco, and you came as chef de cuisine?
That's correct.
Is it your vision you can create and take the theme where you want to?
Exactly. You know, the restaurant was already 1 year old when I was on board, and they kind of gave me this blank canvas to work with. The name was already obviously intact, Parallel 37, and it was kind of my interpretation of what we wanted this restaurant to be. And, you know, I thought it was perfect to really focus on Northern California produce, really market-driven. I'd go to the markets 3 times a week.
So that means your menu is changing week after week all the time then, right?
It's constantly. You know, in the seasons, we have long seasons here in Northern California, obviously, but everything changes from week to week, you know, when you go to the market. So, yeah, the menu changes quite often.
So I'm just imagining, say I fall in love with your dish in September and I come back in January and ain't there.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the tough things. You know, we might have a signature dish once in a while. We'll keep it on for a few months, but
everything is constantly evolving.
Yeah, and I think some of our guests really enjoy that because they know that when they come in a week later, you'll have a fresh menu.
If you could define and delineate your cuisine, you know, style, there are constant surprises, and yet there's that consistency.
It is. Again, we want to highlight the ingredients. We want to highlight Northern California produce, local seafood, local meats, with an award-winning wine list and a great beverage program. But we want the food is nourishing. It's substantial, but it's not heavy. It's light. It's fun. We use really cool ingredients. We use the same ingredients as every 3 Michelin star chef in the city uses, you know. But you're getting it at a bargain cost when you come here, and it's just a fun vibe here in the restaurant.
Let's dig a little deeper on the regional local cuisine because, I mean, you're in Europe and you read in the menus, Sonoma lamb or whatever, you know, it's right in your backyard. Some of the most incredible world famous food and cheeses and wines.
It really is. And again, it's all about highlighting those ingredients. And you know, and I'll put the farmer's name on the menu, and I'll you know, give a shout out, because these are the true artists. These are the ones who kind of make it happen way before I even start cooking.
Everybody is sustainable, and it's such an amorphous word. Take it a step further. What's your mission and what's your philosophy about organic and seeking the freshest, most real food possible?
Well, yeah, I think it's having a connection with the farmer and really understanding what the farmer is doing at that property. And, you know, it's not just highlighting the best of or you know, what you have intentions for that whole year. It's really what the farmer is producing throughout the whole year. So, you know, it's buying, even like, you know, on off seasons, you're buying their cover crop just so they can make a living throughout those hard months. And but yeah, I mean, I try to push it towards a, you know, a vegetarian type of, you know, I highlight vegetables more so than any other ingredient. So it's a very healthy and fun way to cook.
When I mention the word Northern California fresh food, what first comes to your mind? What do you think?
It depends on the day. I mean, right now.
Friday.
Today, I mean, you know, you're getting, I just tasted a white donut peach from K&J Orchards. That was, I should have got a bib on because it was dripping once I took a bite. And, you know, you have everything from, you know, first of the season white corn from Brentwood Farms. And, I mean, the list just goes on. You have these, you know, beans are in season. It's just, it's fun. You're like a kid in a candy store.
I'm just kind of visualizing you in the kitchen walking in with your white corn or the peaches. And do you have these epiphanous moments of, oh, my God, let's make this tonight based on...
Oh, yeah. I mean, some of the markets are, you know, you get stuck in traffic. You know, it's about a 45-minute drive till you're back in the kitchen. And, you know, my mind is usually racing with fun ideas and fun dishes to put on the menu that day.
My favorite subject, desserts. Talk for a moment about desserts.
Desserts, yeah. I mean, again, everything has to align. Everything from your beverage program to your savory menu and your dessert menu, everything is just as important. And we take pride in, again, highlighting some of the best ingredients in our desserts. And there's a great balance with our desserts. They're not overly too sweet. Because if you get a multi-course menu, you want to have a great flow from start to finish. And you don't want to have a sugar sweet bomb at the very end. So it's you know, and it's just not good for you to have that much sugar
right.
In the beginning. So we're really highlighting some of the great fruits, berries that are local, and using some of the natural sugar in those mm-hmm. ingredients.
Talk to us a little bit about wine and how it relates with your flavor pairing and food pairing, because you have some of the world's most famous wineries within an hour, half hour of where we are now.
Right. I mean, it's so true. You know, food and wine is, you know, the ultimate experience when you truly get a good pairing when you have dinner. And everyone's had it at least once. And once you've had that experience, you kind of yearn to have it again. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see a lot of restaurants doing pairings with tasting menus, or even they pair menus with an a la carte, you know, format, which is kind of cool. And what we do here, because our menu changes so often, I have a great relationship with our restaurant manager who controls the wine list. And wine is coming in at least, you know, three times a week, and we're tasting wines, and we're thinking about what food goes with the wine. Mm-hmm. And that's something I learned at Charlie Trotter's was, you know, Charlie brought up the good point was, you know, you can't change the wine, but you can change the food. Again, I don't have this huge ego where it's my way or the highway.
Right,
you know,
right,
you
right.
find a wine and I give, my restaurant manager is like running through the wine cellar trying to find a perfect wine for my cuisine. I think it's funner to do the opposite.
Interesting. I like that. Let's talk a little bit about your kitchen table experience. That sounds really cool. So you're parked right in the kitchen, part of the action.
Yeah, part of the experience is in the kitchen. And what we do is we start them off. We meet all the chefs who are going to actually cook the menu for you. We give them a tour of the whole kitchen, everything from the pastry kitchen to the dish pit, we call it, where we wash all our dishes. And, you know, we do canapes and we do their first courses in the kitchen. And then we sit them down and we start this cool journey of food and wine that has definitely been brought to you from the markets. Mm-hmm. We usually pick out a wine producer that we want to highlight that evening.
But this is while the line is busy working, right?
Oh, yeah, of course, of course. And I think that's what makes it very special and unique is, mm-hmm. you know, we're already going at four cylinders and we have this... We have guests in our kitchen. We're polite and we're interacting and engaging, but at the same time, you also have to focus on the 100 other guests that are ordering food.
Benefit is perfect temperature and the delivery cold or hot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's an experience because we have our cooks who end up really serving the guests the food, describing the food. So we kind of take the front of the house element out of it. We make it so it's more of a, you know, they're in our home, our kitchen, and we're serving you. We're cooking and serving you.
We talked a little bit about food and wine pairing, but we didn't talk about cocktails, and that's a whole nother passion of yours.
It is. I mean, especially in this city, you know. Chicago's a great food and wine city, great cocktail city as well, and getting better every week now. I have a lot of good friends who are doing great things in Chicago. But San Francisco is kind of where it all started, especially in the cocktail scene. We have a great bartender, Camberlay. She's been with us since the beginning. She is so talented because what she really wants to do is, again, have this symmetry between the kitchen and her bar program. And we do great things with organic vegetables and fruit. And we have a theme with classic cocktails that are, you know, flipped a little bit, turned upside their head, and we use all these local ingredients that we get from the farmer's market. We do a great breakfast, by the way.
This is the daily breakfast, not your killer Sunday brunch.
No, our Sunday brunch, now that's something completely different. Now, we do that the second Sunday of every month. It's been a great success, and it really is reaching back out to our wonderful locals. We had a lot of requests for this. Our famous brunches that we used to do in our terrace room, it was a kind of a grandiose event. And we're doing it here in the restaurant, Parallel 37, where we have carved meats, we have a Bloody Mary bar, we're doing all these different beautiful caviar presentations and cold salads and chilled soups. It's a pretty fun time to just come in on a Sunday. And
I imagine some killer fresh fruits from locally produced.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The freshness of everything is presented that day. But it's a good way for, you know, me to meet locals and talk to them and get them in for dinner the following day, if possible.
Michael, before we go, what do you do on your time off? Do you go to farmers markets?
Well, funny enough, this is the first time I've actually had some time off, you know, so I typically get Sundays off, and my wife's off that day as well. So, yeah, we could do anything from going to the, you know, a dog park, because we have this nice, I have a cool little dog, give it some exercise.
Type of dog?
It's a French bulldog. Funny enough, I had to do a food-related name. Her name is Soba, and she's pretty famous, actually, up in Nob Hill.
Really? The legend.
The legend of Soba. But yeah, we take her to the beach, and we'll have a picnic, we'll drink, you know, a bottle of wine, we'll go back home, we'll start cooking dinner. I like to prepare, you know, usually a vegetarian meal, keep things on the light side. Mm-hmm. She's from central Wisconsin, so she tries to get me to cook meat. So yeah, we always have a great time on our days off.
And do you ever get across the bridge and explore Sausalito and Napa and Sonoma?
Oh yeah. I mean, this is one of the great things about living here is there's so many options.
Within an hour or less.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
For further information, Michael, about your restaurant, website?
Parallel37sf.com.
Excellent. Chef Michael Rotondo, chef de cuisine at Parallel 37, Ritz-Carlton, Nob Hill, San Francisco. What a joy. I'm so glad to see you again.
It's great to see you again, Tom.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from San Francisco, California.
Upon a bevy of high brown from down the levee, all misfits putting on the wrist. Why, that's where each and every...
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning,